Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Welcome each and every one of you to another edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We have made it to Friday, and also let the madness begin. I'm going to break down the first day of the NCAA tournament. Upsets everywhere. We've got high school baseball action. I was at the campus of Shaw calling the doubleheader last night between Shaw and Hardaway. And I don't know if we're going to have any baseball games today because of the rain in the forecast. I've already spoke to the Carver baseball coach. They have moved their doubleheader with Thomasville to Monday. And then we should have some games coming up this Saturday afternoon. But a reminder that you are listening to us on Noon and Zone, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And I'm glad to be here. Let's get this show started. So my bracket doesn't look too bad. I did pick Michigan State to beat Mississippi State. I did pick Duquesne to beat BYU. I picked Creighton to beat Akron, Arizona to beat Long Beach State, North Carolina to beat Wagner. I got a little nervous with Illinois and Morehead State. So Illinois, they're my pick to go to the Final Four. It looked like Morehead State. They were only down by one at the half, but Illinois was able to pull away. I picked Oregon to beat South Carolina. I'm happy about that. I picked Nevada to beat Dayton, and Nevada almost beat Dayton. But Dayton rallies from 17 points down to defeat Nevada 63-60. I had Texas beating Colorado State. Texas is actually my Final Four pick. So the big upset of the night, it wasn't the number 11 seeds, Duquesne and Oregon winning. It was Oakland. Little Oakland out of Michigan. The Golden Grizzlies, 10 three-pointers from Jack Golike, and they defeat Kentucky 80-76. My takeaway on this, I mean, we always see a 14 beat a 3, but two times in the last 3 years, Kentucky has lost to a number 15 seed St. Peter's and now a number 14 seed Oakland. Is the writing written on the wall? Is this what Kentucky is? John Calipari, who's recruited the two top five players in the NBA. He's got a number one recruiting class every year. I mean, we've seen players from Kentucky go to the NBA for a decade, but he only has the one title to show for it. That was an Anthony Davis team that was a super team in 2012. And I think the best team he ever had was the 2015 team. They got upset by Wisconsin. But in the last 5 years, Kentucky hasn't done anything when it comes to making a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And another first-round exit. Look, John Calipari is not on the hot seat by any stretch of the imagination. He gets good players to Kentucky, and he builds an NBA factory. But if you're a Kentucky fan right now, you want a coach that takes the tournament seriously. And I just think that even with all this talent, Kentucky goes in and they face these smaller schools that are senior-led that have played together for 4 years. And they just got worked. And they lose to Oakland 80-76. With that being said, there will be a double-digit team that will make the Sweet 16 because Oakland is going to take on NC State in the next round. And I actually picked Texas Tech to beat NC State. And that's another part of the bracket that I got wrong, as NC State, the third number 11 team that advanced yesterday. Iowa State beats South Dakota State 82-65. This is a game that I actually got wrong. McNeese, I picked them to beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga just ran all over McNeese. I thought that McNeese, who won 30 games, and Will Wade is a great coach, I was hoping that they would get the upset. And my bracket is not completely busted because some of these teams that I picked in the first round, I have them losing in the second round. But St. Peter's, they lose to Tennessee 83-49. And then Washington State beat Drake. I actually picked Drake in this game. And then Kansas, a very close win, a four-point win over Samford. Kansas survives and advances. So right now as we speak, as this show is going to air, we have already had Northwestern and Florida Atlantic play, Colgate, Baylor, UAB, San Diego State. All these games are happening before this show is starting to air. Western Kentucky Marquette is happening right now as we speak. Stetson and UConn, New Mexico and Clemson, that's happening at 3:10. Yale taking on Auburn all the way in Spokane, Washington. Colorado and Florida. Colorado is one of those teams that I've got beating Florida, had them winning their play-in game. Texas A&M and Nebraska, that's a very interesting matchup. Vermont, the Catamounts taking on Duke. Grambling taking on Purdue, Charleston and Alabama, Houston and Longwood. James Madison, I got another 12 seed upset as they are taking on Wisconsin. TCU, Utah State, that's all the way at 9:55. And wrapping up day two of the tournament in the first round, because I don't count the play-in games, Grand Canyon and St. Mary's. So with everybody who won yesterday, we have second round matchup on Saturday. Starting at 12:45, we have Dayton and Arizona. I have Arizona in my bracket losing to Baylor in the Sweet 16. So far, so good. Because I picked Nevada to beat Dayton, if Arizona beats Dayton, you know, my bracket doesn't look too bad. Gonzaga and Kansas, this looks like a matchup that I think everybody would love to have seen maybe 5 years ago. That's going to be a good second round matchup. I had Kansas beating McNeese. And then Michigan State, North Carolina. I picked North Carolina to beat Michigan State, but I would not be shocked if Michigan State gets the second round upset. Washington State and Iowa State. I picked Drake, but I think that Iowa State ends up beating Washington State. Oakland and NC State. So we know for sure that there will be a double-digit seed that will make it to the Sweet 16. NC State, that was a bubble team. Can they get the win and get to the Sweet 16? Or is Oakland going to be this Cinderella story this year that everybody talks about, like St. Peter's when they went to the Elite Eight, or at Loyola Chicago when they went to the Final Four, or George Mason when they went to the Final Four? Remember, they were an 11 seed. Florida Gulf Coast as a number 15 seed making it to the Sweet 16. And then you got the Rick Barnes Bowl. Tennessee taking on Texas. I actually have Texas winning this game. The Dukes from Duquesne taking on Illinois. And then wrapping up Saturday night, Oregon and Creighton. I actually have Oregon winning this game. So my bracket is not completely busted. And the reason why, even though I had Kentucky going all the way to the Elite Eight, it's only one team and my bracket doesn't look that bad. So anyway, I've heard somewhere that there are no more perfect brackets. I mean, I would actually not be shocked if that was true. All right, moving on to high school baseball here in the Chattahoochee Valley. Yesterday, I was at the campus of Shaw. They get the doubleheader over Hardaway. They win the first game in five innings, 12-2. And then they win game three by a score of 4-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning on a throwing error by Hardaway. Shaw has a three-game win streak. They are 5-8 overall. And they are also 3-2 in the region. They are going to host Brookstone this Saturday afternoon at 1:30. Hardaway will end up taking on Westover next week. We still have a big slate of baseball games next week. We will have our schedule out for Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. Some of the other games yesterday, Columbus ends up beating Doherty. Glenwood defeats Abbeville Christian 13-2. St. Ampicelli, big road win over Westfield School 18-7. How about the Jordan Red Jackets? They get the 6-4 win over Rutland. That is Rutland's first loss of the season. Pacelli actually gets the win over Westfield School in the doubleheader, so they are now 11-4. Northgate defeats Northside 13-6. And Russell County, a 10-0 win over Chatco. As later today, I don't think we're going to have any games scheduled Saturday. I talked about Brookstone-Shaw. Russell County is going to be taking on Auburn. Northside is hosting LaGrange. Smith Station is hosting Prattville for a doubleheader. By the way, that Russell County-Auburn game is a doubleheader as well. So the Columbus State baseball team, after defeating West Alabama on Tuesday 17-4, they will travel up to Aiken, South Carolina for a three-game series with South Carolina-Aiken. Doubleheader on Saturday starting at 2 p.m. and then the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. It looks like they shifted some of those games. And the Columbus River Dragons have a three-game series at the Columbus Civic Center taking on the Motor City Rockers. They have the best record in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. Come on out to the Civic Center and catch a familiar face that is returning to Columbus, former Columbus River Dragons general manager Scott Brand. The Columbus Lions are on a bye this week, but next week they will take on the Mississippi Raiders. This will be a rematch of the American Indoor Football Alliance Championship, as the Raiders have gone to the American Indoor Football League. Their first home game is going to be April the 12th, taking on the Amarillo Venom once again. The Columbus Lions are 1-0 on the season and looking to have a fantastic year in the AIF. Okay, so this part of the show, I'm going to go ahead and sign off as get ready for the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show that Thrip Barringer and I did. For the Facebook and podcast audience only, I will have a special show later tonight. It will be my March Madness edition show, as the first round game should be wrapped up by then. On Monday, I plan on having Gabe Reynolds on the show as we are going to break down the weekend of March Madness and preview the Sweet 16. Don't forget that Thrip Barringer and I will be at the showroom at Glenn Smith Chevrolet GMC up in Opelika for our Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show tomorrow at noon. Have a great weekend, everybody, and get ready for a commercial break. And then we will have the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show that Thrip Barringer and I did at the Beck Center on Wednesday night. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Truckloads of fresh inventory are rolling in to Glenn Smith GMC in Opelika, like this powerful all-new GMC Sierra 1500 SLT, now available with up to $13,000 off. Purchase the roomy GMC Terrain SLT discounted up to $8,750 off, and the GMC Acadia AT4 all-wheel drive discounted up to $7,000 off. Enjoy no payments till summertime at Glenn Smith GMC. Over 350 new and used vehicles on the lot or on the way.
Get ready to smile.
It's Thrift Barringer, it's Richard Holdridge, it's Georgia, it's Alabama, it's Sports Live Show right here on the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Network, Facebook page, and YouTube channel. Got an incredible lineup for you today, and many of you, if you're watching the video on Facebook, you see the topic list. If you don't, you're watching on YouTube, it's okay, because I'm going to give you the topic list here in just a moment. Thrift Barringer, Richard Holdridge, thank y'all so much for joining us. And thank you for Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC and Opelika for being the presenting sponsor. And with that said, I guess we'll start there. This Saturday, Richard, we will be in Opelika at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Central Time, for a live broadcast in the Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC showroom, Richard, where we will be able to do our show, have several guests on. Looking forward to it. I've communicated with a few people, maybe a Rex Castillo, maybe a Rick Beach, maybe a Tom Callahan, maybe a Lee Snow and Damian Daniels from the Lions. I'm trying to work my magic. Either way, it's going to be a fantastic show. We're looking forward to being there. The weather should be clearing up in the afternoon on Saturday. I know it's supposed to rain Friday, but on Saturday, should be clearing up. Excited to do another live show, and this time at the Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC showroom, Richard.
I'm excited about doing that show with you, Thrift. It's going to be exciting because this is really a very big week in sports, not only for March Madness, college basketball for the men and women, but also, high school baseball is is really in full effect right now, in full swing, and there's just a lot going on.
As you can see here, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you want to come by, please do. I'm going to see if Jerry can help me up with some stuff to give away so that we entice more people to come up there. We're going to basically get your weekend started as the first, well, I guess technically this is going to be the second round. Because, and then the third round is what the second round used to be, because the first four are the, and Dayton is considered the first round. So we'll get your third round started on Saturday. I know the first game is like 12:21, 12:30 around there usually. So watch us. We'll bring you in. And we got a lot in store for you. So make sure to come out to Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC for the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show in person, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 11 Central. Okay, so I told you, a lot on the docket. The topic is we're going to start with our high school baseball ratings, and looking forward to doing that. We got a little bit of a shakeup from last week's ratings, Richard, so glad we're going to be dropping that. After we did the show and we dropped the ratings, I then went on to say, how could we ever put anyone other than Central not number one the way they're playing? So, obviously, no surprise there. You're going to see that in just a moment, but not yet, Chris. Then after that, we are going to do an exclusive interview. I'm going to sit down with Athletic Director Corey Black of Pacelli. He is, and the head basketball coach, he is stepping down, and he is moving on to a good opportunity with Emmanuel Prep to be the Dean of Scholars there. So, we'll have a sit-down exclusive interview with Coach Corey Black on why he's making this move. And then when we come back after that, me and Richard will go into a deep dive breakdown of the bracket, our Final Four, top players to watch, top five teams that can win it all. It's a top five, top five. It's a high five of top fives. How about that? So many fives, I'm getting lost. And then we're going to give the toughest quadrant and, of course, our Final Four. So looking forward, and our eventual national champion, we'll give that as well. That will wrap up today's show, and then on Saturday, like I said, we'll continue our college basketball, talking some baseball, talking Lions and River Dragons, both of them. River Dragons, they've been in season. They're actually getting ready for the playoffs here soon, and the Lions just had their first win on Sunday. Congratulations to Damian Daniels in his first game, getting a big-time win in Amarillo, Texas, as they won 47, I think, to 26. Yes. Big-time win for Damian Daniels, the Nighthawk, in his first season as a coach. I saw Bruce Figgins, who's a new coach at Chattahoochee County. He is also on staff, and he and the Lions got a big-time win. They start the season 1-0.
Yes, congratulations to Coach Damian Daniels and his staff. Marcus Brooke looked fantastic. I know Amarillo took that opening kickoff for the touchdown, 8-0 out the gate, but the Lions responded. It's really their defense. It starts with Ken Washington. And you also have Darrell Green, just an outstanding core. You got to remember, the Lions have NAL players that chose to come back. Yes, it is a lower-tier league. I mean, they won the championship in the American Indoor Football Alliance League. They're now back in the American Indoor Football League. They left in 2016. But, you know, the Amarillo Venom is a very formidable opponent. And they're going to have a bye. They're taking on the Mississippi Raiders. And then the home opener, April the 12th, against the Amarillo Venom. Venom again.
Again. So April the 12th, I'll be there broadcasting. Looking forward to that. We'll have more breakdown of the Columbus Lions heading into another season with someone from the Lions. I don't know if it could be Damian Daniels, Lee Snow, Casey Smith. It's going to be somebody, maybe even Marcus Brooks.
Might be a player.
I'm going to try to work my magic. And like I said, Columbus River Dragons, Richard, are still in first place.
They have the best record of the
best
federal prospects.
Record, and I think that they should win it all this year.
Absolutely.
And every time, I know Tom Callahan's hosting trivia night tonight. I'm hoping that we can get him on to talk River Dragons.
Absolutely.
Even if it means doing a virtual maybe interview, we can try to make it happen if we can. But looking forward to that. And the Lions River Dragons representing the Columbus City well. And everybody wants to say you got to go to Atlanta to see a professional team. No, you don't. They're right here in this area.
Absolutely.
Support local. And the River Dragons doing a fantastic job. And I'm looking forward to being a part of the Columbus Lions this season as they start 1-0. Big-time win for Damian Daniels. Marcus Brooks, that you talked about, he was sensational last year. He's just leading off to where he – I mean, he just starting where he left off last year and dominating again.
Yeah.
Just like they did a whole 8 games when they won a championship in 2023.
Well, when you have like veteran players like Jarmon Fortson, who wants to stay in Columbus. This was a player that played on the championship team at Carver. He goes on to play wide receiver at Florida State. And he's playing for Columbus. Jarmon Fortson is the ultimate veteran. And he's got a great receiver. And he's just got a great team. And Marcus Brooks looked fantastic in that game. Demisio Ewing caught the first touchdown pass. And Columbus never looked back. I mean, they went up 21-8. Amarillo cut it to 21-14. And then the defense just took over. I mean, when you play that tough of, and remember, Damon Daniels knows defense.
He does.
I mean, he probably the greatest corner in Lions history. His number is
maybe in arena football history.
Probably, yeah, in arena football history.
One of the top, at least top 10 of all time. It don't matter what league it's been in. I definitely would have the Nighthawk in there. So
absolutely.
Can't wait to talk more Lions as they got a big win. And then River Dragons, I think they got a home series this upcoming weekend.
It's a big series because they face a former general manager that's coming to the Civic Center. He happens to be the general manager of the Motor City Rockers.
Who's that?
Scott Brand.
How about that?
Coming Scott back to Brand. Columbus.
Coming to Columbus should be a lot of fun. Guy that, you know, just did a fantastic job starting.
Absolutely.
The River Dragons, being the president, GM. I mean, just a de facto guy that really made the engine go. Moved on. Going to get closer to become, you know, get closer to home. And looking forward to seeing them play as the River Dragons. You know, when we talk with Tom, he talks about how talented this team is. It may be the most talented River Dragons team we've had since their tenure started back in 2019, 2020. There is one championship the River Dragons have, but this year I honestly think this has been the best opportunity to win it all since that 2020, 2021 year when they did, when it was a shortened season.
Well, when you have a player that played in the SPHL in Justin McDonald, he played for the Knoxville Ice Bears, comes down and plays in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. Obviously, this is a very special player. He's got 60 goals. He's got, well, 30 goals, 60 assists. He's got about 90 points. He's leading the FPHL in points, and he is the front runner for the most valuable player in the FPHL.
How about that? That should be.
Absolutely.
And he talked about him. Hey, I mean, he's been sensational since the beginning, and he knew as soon as he put on the skates and started skating around here at the Columbus Civic Center that that guy was special.
Absolutely.
So big weekend this weekend for them. The Lions, their first home game's April the 12th. Make sure you go and tune in for that. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. Our high school baseball ratings and how we do our ratings is off of talent, strength of schedule, chances to win the championship in your league, the same way we did for basketball and football. We're going to do for baseball. So, whenever, Chris, you have that graphic thrown up? Okay, so with that graphic thrown up, let's start at number 10, the Shaw Raiders. 3-8, got a big win over Hardaway. They won 20-1. They are playing them again tomorrow. Richard, you may be doing that game. I don't know yet for sure. We plan on trying to be there. Thought it was going to be Friday. It got rained out. Richard plans on being there. It's at Hardaway.
It's at Shaw, actually.
It's at Shaw, excuse me.
Yes.
So they moved it to Shaw. Wow.
Well,
at Hardaway with Freaky Fries, and now they changed it.
So they played Hardaway at Hardaway on Tuesday. So basically,
I think they played 2 out of 3 because they're in the same region.
Exactly.
Shaw coming in at number 10. 3-8, slow start, tough schedule.
Tough schedule.
And now as they get into region play, still a very winnable region. Bainbridge is really good.
Bainbridge is the best
elite
team in the region.
Elite. Top one of the top play teams in the state. But Shaw has a very good chance of making the playoffs this year. They come in at 3-8. I think the surprise team of, I would say number 2, because I think the number 1 surprise team is a little bit up in our rankings, ratings. But a good surprise team is the Jordan Red Jackets.
Absolutely.
At 5-7. Richard, I mean, you've been high on them all season.
Coach Lane is doing a phenomenal job with the Jordan Red Jackets. By the way, they did lose to Rutland 11-7. It was a very close game. It was on the road. Rutland is undefeated. They're one of the top teams in 2A. They're going to play Rutland 2 more times this week. But I think that what Coach Lane is doing at Jordan, they're very formidable. They made the playoffs last year. And they've got a young team, but they've got a good team that can compete.
And I do also want to say there's a couple announcements that happened, by the way. I don't know if I want to do it now in the middle of our ratings or should I wait afterward. You know what? I'll wait. There were a couple hirings that happened at Shaw with the girls basketball program.
Yes.
And then Harris County and Northside have new softball coaches. So we'll talk about that and maybe even have another exclusive interview with one of those coaches that's making a move. By the way, Marcus Brooks is now tuning in. Marcus, you missed us as we were just talking about you and how phenomenal you were with the Columbus Lions as y'all beat Amarillo on the road 47-26. Again, just picking apart any defense, the vision. I really do love watching Marcus Brooks, and his deep ball is a thing of beauty. Cannot wait to call the first home game April the 12th. Marcus Brooks and the Columbus Lions. Damian Nothawk 1-0 this season. All right, moving on. Northside comes in at number 8. They beat Harris County 2 or 3 times.
Right.
Both times at home, and then they got beat at Harris County last week. It's between them and Harris County who could win that region. I know we talked about this off air. McIntosh went all the way to the state championship last year. They're probably the favorite right now, but Harris County and Northside, even with losing records, because of how, one, small the region, and there's only 5 teams. Drew is right. Just absolutely atrocious. So they're going to make the playoffs. Now it's about seeding. Why can't they be a 2 or 3? Northgate, Northside, and Harris County, they're all going to buy for 2, 3, and 4. So Northside coming in at number 8. We don't have Harris County in here yet, but Harris County just took Columbus out of the woodshed and win that 10-0. And as they get better, they're now 4-10 on the season. I'm willing to start moving them up.
Absolutely.
Not yet.
Absolutely.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And I think they play Shaw, or they played Shaw.
They did play Shaw. I think that we put Shaw in there because I just thought that them beating Hardaway 20-1 really caught my eye, because I thought that Hardaway had a pretty good record. They were coming into that game 4-6-1.
Yeah. All right. Northside coming at number 8. What you think on Coach Sparks?
I think what Coach Sparks is doing, Northside, remember, they went to the second round of the playoffs last year. This is a very good team. Remember, they won the state championship in 2019. Coach Sparks has got a lot of good players. We know that they come from Northern Little League, and we know the success that Northern has had in District 8. And I think that Northside is just continuing to progress and get better. We know that, you know, right now, I mean, yesterday they lost to Northgate. They'll get to play Northgate a couple more times, and maybe they can get some wins and try to get some traction in this region.
Yeah, and by the way, a lot of these teams have only played, I know Columbus has played 18, Central's played 19, but a lot of these teams play between 30, 35 games,
right,
at least over 25. I think closer to 30, 35, looking at Columbus, they still got several region games. Basically what I'm saying is we're about at the halfway point. So got 2 more weeks of March baseball, whole month of April, and then we start playoffs around May, about end of April, first week of May. So we still got 5 more weeks of baseball, looking forward to, or 6 weeks, if you will, regular season before we head into the playoffs. Number 7 is the Columbus Blue Devils, who I thought took Central down to the wire and played really well last week.
Very,
we were there
game
for that. They played Brookstone in a 2-0 game. They've had an incredibly tough schedule. They did lose to Smith Station, who's come on strong. They're 8-10, but I promise you, they got a losing record now. By the end of the season, they'll be 10 games over 500 or close to it. They'll be one of the top teams, if not the top team in their region, and they'll be playing and hosting playoff games.
One of their best players, and I want to give him a shout-out on the show, Michael Nottleman, pitched a phenomenal game. 7 innings of work, gave up the 2 runs to Brookstone, and you got Jack Peake, you have Colin Cates, you have RJ Griffin. I mean, Columbus has got some players. Coach Chad Mathis has got a good team. They're 2-0 in their region. They swept the series with Carver. They play Doherty coming up this weekend. We know how good Thomasville is. Right now, Thomasville's 2-0. Crisp County's 2-0. I think Columbus is going to pick up where they left off going to the Elite Eight last year.
Top 6, number 6, Smith Station. They were 4-6 last time we did our rankings. Now ratings, now they're 8-6. They won their last 4. They've beaten some really good teams. They take on Harris County tonight. We don't know what the score of that is yet.
Yeah, trying to get a score update.
But you know how Max Preps is.
Yeah.
But Smith Station, 8-6. Remember last year made it to the Final Four? The problem is either them, Auburn, or Central. Central's not getting left out, so it's going to be between them and Auburn.
It is. And Opelika's 10-4, by the way.
Opelika's really good. Auburn. This is one of their best baseball teams they've had in the last several seasons. Smith Station may be looking out, and Opelika, because only 2 teams out of this region make it, and there's so many good teams. I think all 4 should be in the playoffs. So Smith Station is going to have an excellent season, but because of the region they play in, they may not even make the playoffs, Richard.
That is just crazy to hear, but it's because Opelika's better. We know that Auburn, they missed out on the playoffs last year. I mean, these region games are going to be so important in April.
Was that it?
Yeah.
It's like you're
yeah, I took a breath. No,
it's like you started rebooting right there, Richard. I thought you were gonna keep talking. All right, moving on into the top five. How about the team that got off to a really hot start? I know they got embarrassed at home last week. We were there for that, Richard, when they took on a really good, probably the best GIAA team in Brookstone. They lost 21-3. And then they played Brookstone again at Brookstone, lost 7-0, and they came back to Pacelli and won that 6-1. Then they beat Westfield, a team that is a really good baseball team this year, or last year made it to the playoffs. This year struggling, but last year was one of the top five teams in the state. They won that. They go to 9-4. They play two doubleheader coming up tomorrow, and then next week, I think that's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
At Calvary Christian. You know we're going to be there for that one, Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! That's going to be a good one. Calvary and Pacelli. Calvary wants his get back because Calvary's only loss this season
was to Pacelli.
To Pacelli. At Pacelli, in which they lost that one 14-6. But Coach Bowers and Coach Thomas' team, 9-4, way better than last year. Omar Kimbrough's batting .419. Walker Hilton, he's batting .372. Both those guys are the catalyst for this team. And then the pitching's been phenomenal, including Walter Hilton on the mound as well. Yeah. Pacelli, 9-4. I think this team has semifinals or state championship written all over it with Coach Thomas. And you knew by year two he was going to be going for a championship.
You got to remember, when we called that 21-3 loss to Brookstone, it was 4-3 going into the sixth inning. It was a very close, contested game. And then Brookstone just opened up the floodgates. Pacelli was able to get game three on Saturday. They did take one out of three against Brookstone. But, I mean, Pacelli right now is 2-2 in their region. I think when it's all said and done, when you're talking about the GIAA playoffs, I think Brookstone and Pacelli are going to be the two top teams. And hopefully, if they do face each other.
Can we get a Brookstone-Pacelli? We've had it. Brookstone-Pacelli.
Can we get it in
quarterfinals?
Yes.
In football. We've had it in Elite Eight in basketball. Can we get a Brooks-Opicelli state
Please.
Championship or semifinals in baseball
Can
like we did
yes.
for Central and Smith Station last year?
We'd love to see it.
We'd love to see it as well, but they're doing a phenomenal job. They got Westfield doubleheader tomorrow, so I think they're going to be 11-4 going into next week taking on Calvary. That's going to be a big-time matchup. Number four, the Glenwood Gators. Last year's team went 45-4. Expectations obviously always going to be high for Coach Fanning. He's got 9 state championships. They have 23 as a school, and this year being the last year in the AISA, I know Coach Fanning wants to go out with a bang,
right,
winning a state championship. They are 8-6 on the season. They take on Abbeville tomorrow, and then they got some good games with Deerfield, Windsor, Coosa Valley, and Southern Prep coming up. Because next week is – they don't have any games next week because next week is
– Spring break.
Spring break. So – no games, and then they'll follow that with games afterwards. They beat North Bay Haven, and they beat Lakeside School several times. Of course, they beat Brookstone, lost to Brookstone, beat Pacelli, lost to Heritage, and lost to First Presbyterian Day, who's the number one team in the GIAA at 11-2 this year.
And they took 2 out of 3 against Lee Scott Academy.
And that's why they're 8-6. I know Max Preps says 6-5.
Yeah, Max Preps does not have Lee Scott Academy on this
game. No, and so that's why if you look in their region right now, Richard – Springwood's 3-0. That's because they haven't played Glenwood. They're 3-7, and they got three games. They're not 3-0 in the region. They're 3-7 overall. Glenwood's gonna, I think, is still the favorite in the AISA.
No, absolutely.
Tyler Sykes, he's a phenomenal player. That's done a great job. You know, last year we remember him. How about Mason McCrane, replacing Jacob Page. And Milam, that's a tough task, but they got some guys within their system they believe in. Young guys that are struggling here early will come on strong and late. That's what normally happens with a team that rebuilds, not reloads like Glenwood. And they come in as a number four team. They have to go down because our number three team, Richard, I'll let do the honors. 14-3, and they have If it wasn't for Calvary and Central, they should be the talk of the town. They've dominated everybody. They beat Columbus High. They got great pitching. They got three guys that are going to D1 level. They got guys that it can five tool players that can play anywhere on the field. Coach Greg Mathis, formerly assistant, I gotta say it again. So many assistants under Bobby Howard. Greg taking over Brookstone last year, making it to the second round, and this year, losing the first round, and this year having a team that maybe could win it all. Richard, 14-3.
Look. This team, if you look up and down their lineup, they've got a ton of players that can make all-region, even all-state. Let's start with Taft Middleton. Not only is he leading the team with a 5.11 batting average, he's also their top starting pitcher. Their number two pitcher? Not too bad. The junior, Chanwoo Kim, who had a shutout 7-0 win over Pacelli. We saw him in the Border Wars as they beat Macon East. I have called four games so far for Brookstone. They have looked fantastic every time that we call a game. They beat Columbus 2-0. Taft Middleton pitched that game. Cole Stanzel, I mean, he's a good relief pitcher. He's got a 489 batting average. How about Madden Dismuke? 7 RBIs. He was a double away from hitting for the cycle against that 21-3 win over Pacelli. And Brookstone just defeated St. Mary's Academy today 20-2. And if you look at the schedule for Brookstone, you know, they are going to play Shaw on the 23rd, this Saturday. They are going to play Calvary Christian on April the 23rd at Calvary.
And the reason they're number three is because of the two teams that are ahead of them. Calvary Christian coming in at 10-1 on the season. Bailey Thorne, the all-world player, the senior, already has 16 hits, 19 RBIs, 6 home runs, and 11 games played.
Incredible.
He's on pace to have over 20 home runs this year. The guy is just an incredible player. We also, Cam Houston. Shout out to Amy Houston, friend of mine. Cam Houston, the shortstop, is batting .471 this year as well. How about that? Coming in as the starting shortstop, he has one home run. He has got 16 tied for the team lead in hits. He's been phenomenal. Strickland, Barbary, Charles, Irving, they got guys that can just light it up. And then not only that, Richard, it's their pitching, too, that has been absolutely great. Ward, Thorne, Barbary. Only Ward's the only one that's got a loss. Everyone else is undefeated. Team ERA is at 2.2.
Wow.
Calvary Christian ranked number 9 in the entire state of Georgia. 10-1. Steve Smith as the best program in the Columbus side of the Tri-City area. What you got to say about them, Richard?
Calvary Christian has just not only been dominant. Coach Smith, he stacks the schedule. They're playing GHSA teams like LaGrange and Troup County. They're going to play in a tournament during spring break, taking on IMG Academy that has one of the top baseball players in the country that's projected to be a first rounder in the Major League Baseball draft. And I think that he has taken a playbook from Coach Black at Pacelli, just scheduling tough opponents to get them ready for the gaps. And they've won 5 straight state championships, trying to get their 6th in the final year of the GIAA. And Calvary has looked phenomenal. They beat Lafayette Christian over the week. They still got to play LaGrange. We all know how tough LaGrange is as they went to the state championship the last 2 seasons. And they'll play Glenwood. They'll play Northside.
Troup County. Brookstone. I mean, we got Brookstone. We're going to be doing that game. We got Pacelli. They got to play Glenwood. So they're going to be playing all the private schools. So they're going to literally say we were the best. They played Northside. They didn't play Columbus. They beat Carver. So other than not playing Central, they basically played all the top teams around this area. They
exactly
beat LaGrange and Troup County. They have the mantle from Harris County down, or even going up to Troup County down. Now, they are the best team in this east southeast region of the state of Georgia. But the number one team is, of course, the Central Red Devils. 18-1, Richard. And Coach Keough's team, it is pretty phenomenal what they have built, what he has built over there. And to now, winning a state championship 2 years ago, making it last year, everyone knew Central's had a great baseball program under Ron Nelson. He won a state championship, so the history's there. But now we're not talking about just winning. He's trying to put that up there with all-time great teams, like Glenwood last year that was ranked nationally. Right. How about Russell County teams under Coach Tony Rasmus, the Bobby Howard teams under Columbus with Kyle Carter and J.T. Phillips and now I'm drawing a blank.
Jordan Weems. Josh Lester.
Cody Walker. He's starting to get in that category. How about the Columbus High teams that had Bubba Holland and Frank Thomas back in the 80s and early 90s when he won state championships 4 years in a row? You're going to start seeing him put in that category as a nationally prominent team. Auburn is 8-8, and they've also played I would say this about everyone. They played a tough schedule. I feel like Auburn's going to be left out before Smith Station Opelika. I feel like that second spot's between both of them. But 19-1 now, actually, Richard, as they won yesterday.
They were in the Gulf Coast Classic, and they got actually 3 wins in the Gulf Coast Classic.
Their only loss is to Mill Creek, who lost to Buford 3-0, and which is surprising. Mill Creek's 8-6. It was just an off day, and they lost 3-2. Other than that, they have beaten everybody. They have beaten teams outside of the state of Georgia and the state of Alabama. Columbus High was a close one. They ended up winning that 8-5. They were actually losing that 4-0 to start that game. But I'm looking at this schedule. They continue the stretch they're on. You're putting Coach Keough's Central 2024 team as one of the greatest in our area of all time, especially if they bring home that state championship ring. They come in as a top, I think now like 7 in the country. That's it. That's incredible, Richard. It really is.
Well, when Coach Keough has players that are going to play at the next level, like first baseman Landon Beaver.
Number 7 in the country, nationally ranked number 7. The problem is they play in the same classification as Bob Jones, who is also 7A, who is also ranked number 8 in the nation. So how about that? And Calvary plays the number 9 team, IMG. So if Calvary beats IMG, you could see Calvary and Central both in the top 10. There's our top 10 rankings, if you don't mind bringing us back on stream, Chris. So thank you. Ratings. And if you have a problem with it, remember to email Holdridge right here. He's the one you blame. Go to his house. Do all the pitchforks and all the you want to burn his house down. Go after him. Don't go after me. But now we are going to hit our college basketball preview as I don't even count the first round. I consider this Thursday and Friday the first round. The first four, I don't consider any of that part of the NCAA tournament. So I don't even care about predicting it, nor do I want to talk about it. And then if you're Virginia and Tony Bennett, he says he's got to change his system.
It's not working.
I didn't watch it because I didn't want my eyes to bleed, and I'm never going to watch it. This is Colorado State just put them in. Virginia shouldn't even been in conversation. 42 points. They went in 10 minutes without even scoring. I'll talk about it, Richard. That's all we're going to say. All right. We talked on Monday, me and you, Richard, about the different quadrants. We were talking about preview, giving our rants on why teams should have been this and that. We're actually going to talk about the actual bracket today. So, it's our high five, top five. What is our top five? Richard, we'll start with our top five teams that could win it all. You can go first. Richard, who is your five teams?
My five teams are North Carolina, Houston, Auburn, Illinois, and the defending champions, UConn Huskies. Notice that three of these teams are in the same quadrant. They're in the East bracket. I mean, that East bracket is absolutely crazy because not only do you have three teams in that bracket that were in the Final Four last year, you have a team like Auburn that was underseeded having to probably face UConn in the Sweet 16. Illinois won the Big 10. Iowa State won the Big 12. I mean, that is a crazy bracket.
Yeah, so your top five, you had Houston, North Carolina, Auburn, Illinois, and UConn. Those are the five teams that you think can win a national championship. Problem is, three of the teams in your five play in the same bracket. So you didn't even mention two other brackets. You talked about North Carolina there in the West. Excuse me. I'm choking. And then you talked about Houston. They're in the South. And then you mentioned Auburn, UConn, Illinois. You didn't mention anybody from the Midwest. So I don't think you think Purdue, Tennessee, any of them.
No.
We're talking about winning it all. Okay, winning it all. And again, if you missed our interview with Corey Black, make sure to go back and you can watch on YouTube and on Facebook. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. Please be that 1,000th one and go subscribe right now. All right, my top five teams that could win it all. Of course, UConn, they're the number one team. They're 31-3. They're defending champions. They're one of the deepest teams in the country. And Coach Danny Hurley's got an excellent program built over there at UConn. Reminds me of the old Jim Calhoun days. Mm-hmm. And trying to be the first back-to-back national champion since Florida. And the first one since Florida was Duke. So Duke and Florida, the last two teams to win back-to-back national championships in the last 40 years. Mm. Okay, it's been a long time. Okay, it doesn't happen very, very rarely does it happen. As I'm going to exit out of that so no one sees that. All right, Auburn. They come in as one of the hottest teams as they won the SEC tournament. They are the deepest team in the SEC and one of the deepest teams in the country. I think maybe the deepest. They play 10 guys, 9 or 10, that all can score, all can do contribute in some big way, whether it be Dylan Carwell coming off the bench, KD Johnson, being the J.R. Smith and the spark plug, Jad Paker Mazzara, who was an elite defender, who has got a lethal 15-foot jump shot, Holloway and Donaldson are point guards that are hitting shots. This reminds me a lot of that 2019 team that made it to the Final Four. Auburn could win it all. This is Bruce Pearl's, one of his best opportunities to win a national championship. I think this team is better than that team that was the number two seed back in 2021. It had Jabari Smith. I think this team's deeper, better, and more athletic. Tennessee, Dalton Kennett. That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's known for its defense. Last year, remember, they smuggled. And just suffocated Duke and beat them, made it to Sweet 16, lost to FAU. I thought they were the favorite to win that bracket, didn't even make it out of it, lost to FAU. But now they got scoring. That was their problem last year. They could rely on their defense, couldn't score. This year, now they have the defense and they can score. Sakai Ziegler, Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC. Dalton Kennett, the Player of the Year. Tennessee comes in as number three. They're a two seed. They can win all. They're in that Midwest bracket. Arizona, Caleb Love. Remember that name because we could potentially see a Caleb Love, former North Carolina player that hit the big shot against Duke that ended Coach K's career back in 2022. Caleb Love now plays for Arizona. He could be playing against his former team in the Elite Eight. I don't have that, but that could be happening. Arizona, obviously a team in the last two seasons as a number one and number two seed. Favorites to make it. Under Coach Lloyd, the last two seasons, lost last year to a Princeton 15 seed. I think this year is going to be the team that makes it to a Final Four. And then Illinois, Terrence Shannon. Not going to talk about his legal issues, but the guy can flat out play. Put up over 30 points a game in the Big Ten Conference. I think Illinois and Brad Underwood, this team could win it all. Those are my five teams. Toughest quadrant, Richard, is obviously the East, as you talked about. There's four conference tournament champions of the Power Five. Four of the five, well, I guess UConn's not in the Power Five, so excuse me. Three of the Power Five are in this one. SEC Auburn, Big Ten Illinois, Big 12 Iowa State. The two best conferences this year, according to Jerry Palm, Joe Lenardi, or anyone else, the SEC and the Big 12, and both their conference champions are in the same bracket. How does that make sense? And that bracket has the best team in UConn. Again, I'm not going to get started on the seeding, but there is no question. I know Jay Williams is trying to make it for the South because it's got Kentucky, Duke, Wisconsin, Nebraska, A&M, Houston, Marquette, a good Florida team. That's a tough one, but it's not even close to what they have over in the East. The East is top heavy. They're top four seeds, and that's where it matters the most. That's why I think as the East is the toughest quadrant. Do you agree, Richard?
I absolutely agree that the East is the toughest quadrant. Even when you have like a team like Florida Atlantic that was in the Final Four and they're an 8 seed. UAB, which I got beat in San Diego State. They won the American Athletic Conference. They're a 12 seed. San Diego State went to the championship, lost to UConn. The Dukes from Duquesne making it to the champion, making it to the tournament for the first time since 1977. BYU, I mean, you got some teams that you don't want to sleep on. You don't want to sleep on Drake.
I was about to say, you better mention Drake.
Do you love the Drake?
Washington State, Morehead State, known for having some upsets. I remember when Terrence Hill, formerly of the Jordan Red Jackets, when they won a state championship in 07, played and hit the game-winning shot against Louisville to make it and upset Louisville when they were 13 seed. Louisville was a 4 back in 2011. All right, best players heading into the tournament. Richard, I'll go first. Jalen Williams from Auburn. I know everybody's going to say Jedi Broome, and Broome has been sensational. He's third team All-American. He's first team All-SEC, but they go as far as Jalen Williams goes. He's a fifth-year senior, the winningest player in Auburn basketball history. Only 1 year did he not make it to the NCAA tournament because I think in 2019-2020, Auburn was a top 15 team in the country. They were number two in the SEC, and they were 25-6. If the pandemic didn't happen, they're making the tournament that year. So that means 4 of his 5 years, he had a team that was either one top 10 in the country or made it to the NCAA tournament. He, when playing and clicking on all cylinders, he's the X factor. Because if you double-team Broome, good luck sopping Jalen Williams for your third option. That's why I have him as one of the best players. I got a twofer for Kentucky, Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard. Dillingham, one of the most exciting, explosive, quick, nasty players we have in the NCAA. He's going to be putting on a show. And then we got Reed Sheppard, guy that can facilitate, kick it to all the playmakers, and Antonio Reeves. I think both of those guys, if they get hot, could lead to a Kentucky Final Four appearance. Kyle Filipowski from Duke. If Duke is going to go back to being relevant in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, Filipowski's got to be legit. He has been. He was an all-American player, all-ACC player, but he better be good. And most people don't think Duke are going to make it out of the first round. They have that as one of the big upsets, Vermont beating them. Terrence Shannon, been one of the best players in the country, over 21 points a game. Illinois is an elite team, and I think Brad Underwood, this is one of his best teams. Even though they were number one seed a few years ago, they didn't have someone like Terrence Shannon who literally can take over and be the best player on the court against anybody, doesn't matter who. And last, Donovan Klingon, the 7'2 big man for UConn. He dominates. He protects the rim. He's putting up 12 points a game, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. The guy reminds me of Rocco Kessler on top of the great guard play. That's why UConn is going in as a favorite. Those are my 5 players. Who are yours, Richard?
My 5, well, you got to start with Zach Edey, averaging 24 points a game. Purdue, once again, a number one seed. They lost to a 16 seed last year. And Purdue, in the last 3 tournaments, have lost to double-digit seeds, including St. Peter's and Ohio. But I think Purdue is going to at least get to the Elite Eight. And Coach Matt Painter has not had a Purdue team that has gone to the Final Four. They haven't gone to the Final Four in over 40 years. I think Zach Edey's going to have a good tournament, but it's a team game, and it is a guard league, and the guards have got to get going for Purdue. I also have Jahni Broome. I think that Jahni Broome is going to be the X factor for Auburn if they're going to get past UConn. In my bracket, I've got them getting at least to the Elite Eight. I think that they have a deep team, and Jahni Broome is one of their stars. We got to talk about Caleb Love, the transfer from North Carolina. I've got Arizona. They are a number two seed. Last year they lost to Princeton. But this year I think that they're going to have a good tournament. Caleb Love could face his former team in the Elite Eight. I mean, that's going to be a matchup I think everybody wants to see. And then I've got a sleeper player that might have a very good tournament. Jalen House from New Mexico. New Mexico is an 11 seed. I've got them beating Clemson. A lot of experts think that they are going to get by Baylor, and they might be one of the favorites that's a double-digit seed to make it to the Sweet 16.
We saw a bunch of them last year.
Absolutely.
They come out of the Mountain West. It's got 6 people. Remember, Mountain West had a team in the national championship last year in San Diego State. So
exactly.
I think that's a good pick in Jalen House. And like you said, that's a son of Eddie House, who I used to could not stand watching and one of the players I hated. Could fill it up. Great player. Great player, but good player. Played a lot of years in the NBA, but not one of my favorites. All right, our final four picks. Richard, who you got in your final four, and then we'll do national championship after.
Well, in the first bracket, the final four is going to be held on April the 6th. I've got Illinois playing North Carolina, the rematch of the 2005 national championship.
Which was an excellent national championship.
Absolutely. Like you talked about, Illinois, they are deep. I think that North Carolina, they're motivated. They didn't make the tournament last year. They were a preseason number one. They made it to the championship game 2 years ago. I think that North Carolina has got a chip on their shoulder. And, I mean, it starts really with Armando Bacot. I mean, I think that he is going to have a good tournament. And then on the other side of the bracket, I think that what Coach Kelvin Sampson doing at Houston, I think that was very important. They go from the American Athletic Conference to the Big 12. They were battle-tested. I know that Houston got woken up when they got blown out by Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament. I think that that's going to motivate them. I'm looking at my bracket. I've got them beating Duke in the Sweet 16. I got them beating Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I think Houston gets back to the Final Four, where I kind of had a little fun with this. This means that Texas, a team that went to the Elite Eight last year, lost to Miami. They're a number 7 seed. I mean, they obviously play in a tough conference, and they're a 7 seed. I think that Texas, I got them beating Tennessee.
So you got them making the Final Four for the first time since 2003.
Since 2003 with T.J. Ford.
Beating Rick Barnes, who was a coach for that team. And save your national championship. My Final
Why
Four.
Not?
Auburn, I think one of the best teams. I think they're going to come out of that region. Arizona, Caleb Love, I think they come out of the West. And that means they'll be basically playing a home in Phoenix Final Four.
Yeah.
Kentucky, two SEC schools. Kentucky with Reed, Shepard, Rob Dillingham, as you talked about. And they've had some disappointments the last two seasons and not making it to the Sweet 16, losing in the first round as a 2 seed.
Two years ago.
Yeah. Embarrassing. And Purdue, I think, I know I said it, I don't believe in them until they get in the NCAA tournament, but I've always been a big fan of Matt Payne. I've always been a fan of Purdue. I'm going to pick them. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say finally they get over the hump, and they're going to beat Tennessee in the Elite Eight. So I almost had 3 SEC schools. I really think that highly of the SEC this year, not trying to be a homer. My national championship is going to be between it was hard. I try not to be a homer in this, but I really think Auburn could win a national championship this year. So I'm going to put Auburn in the national championship, taking on Zach Edey and Purdue, and Auburn winning the national championship. No, excuse me. I did not have Purdue in it. At Kentucky, I have an Auburn-Kentucky national championship, all SEC, rematch of the Elite Eight 2019, Auburn winning it all. What do you got, Richard? And again, these are predictions that no one knows.
Yeah.
I am not telling you. I know I have the insight better than you. It is all for fun. Most of the time, people that have the best bracket don't even keep up with college basketball. So I'm going to go with my heart instead of with my head because I don't care about being right and winning a bracket challenge. What about you, Richard? Who's your national?
Thrift, we've been watching college basketball since November. I almost guarantee you that there's a possibility my bracket could get busted after the first day. But with that being said, I kind of had a little fun with this. I think the national championship is going to be a flashback to the 1980s with Dean Smith, the North Carolina Tar Heels, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, taking on Phi Slamma Jamma. We never saw that national championship, but that would have been awesome. North Carolina taking on Houston.
How about that? And who's your winning your national title?
I got North Carolina winning it because
Hubert Davis cutting down the nets.
They have won 3 national championships in the 2000s. I think that
under Roy Williams, though.
Under Roy Williams.
They've been to 4 when they won one with
Hubert Davis. Got them to the national championship 2 years ago. I think that North Carolina gets it done, and they have the championship pedigree. I think that Hubert Davis, he cuts down the nets. The North Carolina Tar Heels wins their 4th national championship in the 2000s.
Well, we want to say thank you so much for everybody tuning in. Thank you to Corey Black for doing the exclusive interview with us. Enjoy the college basketball. It's my favorite time of year these couple days, especially Thursday and Friday when it's 4 games going on all at once for literally 12 hours straight. You couldn't ask for anything more from a sports fan like myself. Well, I'm Thrift Behringer, Richard Holdridge, saying thank y'all so much. We'll see you Saturday for our live show with Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Tomorrow, Richard will be going live probably for Hardaway and Shaw. We'll keep you posted on that. By the way, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. Congratulations to Brandon Jenkins on beginning the head coaching job at Harris County. Rick Beach will be doing an exclusive interview with him. We'll be dropping that next week, so make sure to tune in for that. He has taken over as a 3-time state champion and been to multiple state championships, 6 finals. He is going to take over the Harris County program where he's has family members. He lives there. His his children go to school there. And Sydney Spray Carasori, married to Jonathan Carasori of the FCA, is great, phenomenal player at Missouri, great player at Columbus High, and been an assistant under Coach Jenkins the last several seasons, will now be the head person at Northside. And Abby Lovell's coming back, by the way, from Northside. So they're gonna be loaded next year, and that rivalry is gonna be good. Jenkins versus Scarisori. Can't wait to be able to do that. So congratulations to them, and congratulations to Charlie Marquand, is now the head girls basketball coach at the Shaw Lady Raiders. It takes over for Alicia Brown. Charlie Marquand is now the head coach for the Shaw Lady Raiders. Thank y'all so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show. Good night, everybody.